to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Praise God. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible. Yeah, I saw another one. My goodness. The Spirit of God just flashing some things before me. Wow. Incorruptible, indestructible, ever living seed of God's Word. My mind is alert. My body's awake. My spirit is receptive. I won't be the same after what I hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Some things you can share, some things you can't. But it's all good. It's all good. If you brought your Bible, go to Acts 24. 24th chapter of the book of Acts. We're going to do a checkup, brush up, whatever you want to call it, on exercising yourself to not take offense. Don't drop from your chandelier and get depressed, because you might not shout while I'm preaching, but if you practice it, you will shout, that's for sure. If you didn't put them on this morning, go real quick and get your steel-toed shoes. But Acts 24, verse number 16, it says, Paul speaking, he said, I exercise herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. In other words, my conscience isn't bothering me about anything. I'm right between God, but I'm also right between men. Yes. Amen. Amen. You realize to be right with God, you have to stay right with men. Yes. But I exercise myself, he said, to have a conscience void of offense. Yes. Paul said, I have to exercise myself in this. There's not offense is not something that you can go through life without it coming to you. Right. Offense is going to come to all of us. Let's rephrase that. It already has come to all of us. It'll come again. It's part of what the Bible talks about in these last days. You remember in Matthew 24, it talks about in the last days, many will be offended. It's a mark of the days we're living in. And but, you know, just because it comes doesn't mean we have to take it. It's one thing for offense to come. It's another thing to take it. Amen. But it's something that we have to notice. He said, exercise ourselves to not take. Paul said, I exercise myself. Exercise equals work. We would all like to go to the gym and say, put down our credit card. I hear there's muscles in here. I'd like to buy some muscles. But that's not the way it works. You don't just buy. You have to pay a membership and then go work out. You have to work. And so that there's work involved in not taking offense, because offense will come. You know, the word offense really, an illustration we would use of today is that bait on that cheese on the mouse trap. That is an offense to that mouse. That's the way the Bible uses the word offense. That mouse, he might even understand a little bit about the fact that it's a trap, but that cheese has lure to his flesh, and his flesh wants that cheese. You understand what I'm talking about? And that cheese is an offense to him. That's what that cheese is. That's what offense is to us. It's cheese on the trap. The devil sets a trap with cheese on it and says, you want that, don't you? Yeah. Your little nose is going and everything. You know what I'm talking about? Your flesh likes to be offended. It's an appetite of your flesh, my flesh, your flesh. But we've got to exercise ourselves to not take the offense. It's one of Satan's devices. Amen? And it takes work to not take it, because the flesh wants it. Just like that mouse, his flesh wants that cheese. Listen, we're going to shuck the corn this morning. I know why I'm preaching this. Hallelujah. We're gonna rescue some folks. Amen. No use waiting until you're already in the trap to rescue. Let's get some rescue before. I mean, some of our flesh is going like this. We want that cheese. We're going to rescue before you even hear the snap. Amen. Hallelujah. So that mouse has to work to not go after that cheese. Offense means you take the bait. It means you receive the hurt. It means you stumble over something that somebody did or that you think they did you wrong or something of that nature. That's what an offense really is. Amen. It's mentioned in the Bible often, over and over again. Offense is going to come. The Bible says, and Jesus actually said this, it's impossible but that offenses will come. You can't go through this life without somebody doing you wrong, or at least you think somebody did you wrong. Sometimes it's not that they did anything. They didn't have any malicious motive in it. It's just something, maybe hurts of the past, that somebody did something that reminds us of somebody else, but they didn't really have us in mind when they did it or said it. You know what I'm talking about? Hello? But you can't go through life without those things coming to you. Somebody said, I was done wrong in life. I say, welcome to the human race. Welcome to the planet. You know what I'm talking about? And so you have to exercise yourself. You have to work to push it away. Just like you have to work. The way you get muscles in the gym, you push that weight away and you keep doing that. You don't just get, lay down on the bench and push it away once and pop. There's a big old, look at those big old muscles. No, you got to keep pushing it away. How do you get strong and keep from taking offense? You just keep on pushing it away. Because in this day, he said in the last days, many would be offended. In this day, it's going to come and it's going to keep on coming. Somebody said, I don't want it to come. It's going to come and it's going to keep on coming, especially if the devil sees weakness. But you can turn the tables on him and make that thing that was a weakness in your life that used to shut down your faith and shut down your spirit and your fellowship with God and your fellowship with the people God connected you with, that thing that used to shut you down, that you can flip tables on it and use it to become strong in that area and refuse the thought of offense, refuse to take it. Amen. Living free from offense is not for spiritual weaklings. Amen. It's not for spiritually lazy people. You got to keep pushing it away. It'll keep coming. And if you get weak, the devil will try the pile-up tactic on you. Amen. So offense is something that we've got to guard, because he said it's a part of these last days. When the devil is working on you, trying to get you to take the offense, you ought to say, I smell cheese. I smell cheese. I know this is a trap. I know this is a trap. Hallelujah. Now, one of the areas of work in offense is, how many of you have ever had something happen, somebody did something maybe, and you didn't think much of it later, of it at the time, but later the devil just keeps bringing it back to you. You know the way they did that? That was awfully, they were awfully inconsiderate of you. You know, they probably did that on purpose, and then the devil just keeps bringing it back, and it starts bothering you, and it starts hounding you, and it just keeps coming back to your thought life, the memory of what they did. That's the devil working on you. That's the devil working on you. He's wanting to get you to take it. And the way you take it is you take the thoughts that keep coming to you. Those thoughts that keep coming to you have their thoughts of offense, and you've got to learn to cast down those thoughts of offense when they come. Amen. You can get real good at not taking thoughts of offense. You can just get real good at it, but just the fact that the thought come does not equal you being offended. There's a difference between offense coming and taking offense. What we got to stop doing is taking it. It's impossible that offenses will come. Jesus said they're going to come. They're going to come. But yet, right on the other hand, just because they came doesn't mean we have to take it. How do I know that? I know that because of Psalm 119. Go over to Psalm 119. We'll put this verse together with that verse that says, it's impossible but that offenses will come. And I wrote that verse down somewhere. I don't even remember where it is. I think it's in Luke, but Jesus made that statement. It's impossible, but that offenses will come. But look at verse, this is Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. And what's the next word?
Nothing.
And what?
Nothing.
Nothing shall what?
Offend.
Shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. That verse is telling you and I that it's possible to not take the offense.
Yes.
Nothing shall offend them.
Right.
It's possible. In fact, that should be your goal, to never be offended.
Right.
Never be offended. If you want your faith to work. We'll have to exercise ourselves in this if we want our faith to work. But he said, it's impossible, but that offenses should come. And here he said, though, that great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. In other words, what he's saying is there's injustices that are going to come by saying that it's impossible, that you can't go through life without injustices coming. There are many injustices in the world, but that doesn't mean you have to walk through life all hurt, wounded, beat up, offended, having ill will and animosity and strife and bitter towards somebody. Are you with me? You don't have to live angry and hard-hearted and unforgiving. Amen. Giving place to the devil because you're offended about something. It's just not worth it. And besides, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. You should learn to say that. I don't have to live this way. I don't have to live all tied up on the inside, all hurt and wounded and angry. And every time I see that person, my face gets red, you know, and I remember what they... You don't have to live that way. You can be completely free. See, this is freedom. Being free from offense is being free. Being offended is bondage. But you and I, he said, if we love the word enough, we can live in a place that nothing offends us. Tell your neighbor, that's possible. Amen. Just because somebody has done us wrong doesn't mean we have to take the offense. We can pass it up. Let's get real good at just passing them up. Just passing them up. We're not taking it. We're not taking it. Now listen, if you've been suckled on offense from the day of your bottle, you know what? This is going to be a harder work project for you. It's going to be greater work for you. It's all the truth. Some people have been suckled on it. Then they went to elementary school and they got an education in it. Then they went to high school and they got a high school diploma in offenses. Then they went on to college and got a college degree in it, and now they're out in life practicing it, living it, and they're getting good at it, and people are handing them doctorates on it, you know. You are so good at being offended. If that's the way you were raised, and that's the way maybe, because these things, families have things that they yield to. And if that was what your family always yielded to, you always held grudges and, you know, in your home, that's the way it was in your home. People were always talked mean about and you held grudges and everything. Well, you got suckled on that from the beginning and you developed that habit. That's what it is. It's a bad spiritual habit. You developed that habit and it's going to be greater work for you. Somebody else might have to work in other areas more to not have something else come against them. Maybe sickness or disease or something like that in their life. But in your life, if you've been suckled on that, you're going to have to work harder. Amen? Because there's things that dog all of our lives. Brother Hagin said, talking about him pastoring years ago, he said there was a family in his church. Actually, it was kind of the family that was faithful in church all the time. They were relatives with some other people in the church that came, you know, every now and then, and usually just came whenever they needed something. I mean, have you never, you know, there's people like that. They just come whenever they need something. Anyway, this family that just came whenever they needed something, Brother Hagin said, I could lay hands on them. They'd come, they'd need healing from something. I could lay hands on them, and bam, like that, they'd get healed, receive their healing. And every time that would, you know, and then they'd be gone for a while. And this other family that was always in church got to wondering, how's come they always get healed? They're never here all the time. I mean, you know, most of the time not here, but we're in church all the time. And brother, they asked Brother Hagin, they said, you know, you lay hands on us, doesn't seem like we ever get healed.
Right.
And they asked him, what's going on here? And he said, I'll tell you exactly what's going on. He said, I don't even know that couple very well. But he said, I will say this. I'll guarantee you, you all hold grudges and you're slow to forgive and slow to repent. And he said, that other family, they don't hold grudges. They just forgive and forget. It's no big deal. They just go right on past offenses and things like that. And the family that was talking to Brother Hagin looked at him with amazement and said, that's exactly the way they are. I mean, you know, it's like my cat. I mean, I do something mean to the cat because it's being bad. You know what I'm talking about? And within a minute, it's over there rubbing my leg, you know. You know what I'm talking about? No unforgiveness. That's the way you and I ought to be. I mean, somebody just do something obviously wrong and we don't hold it against them. Next time we see them, we bless them, love them. Treat them as if nothing happened. Amen. That's how you stay healed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the way I want to live. How about you? But some people have been suckled on this from the bottle, and it's going to take some work to get there. You just don't have to have carrying around offenses. Some people collect them. You know, people collect famous signatures and, you know, sports memorabilia or antiques or something. Some people, though, they collect offenses. In fact, if nobody's offending them, they'll find somebody that was offended and they'll borrow their offense. Well, they did you wrong. Well, let's jump into a fence together. You've heard of swimming parties? That's called a sinning party. A swimming party is where everybody jumps in the pool. You know, you all come over and everybody jumps in the pool swimming party. Well, there's sinning parties, where one person gets offended and everybody that loves offense runs to that offended one and gets offended together with them, and they borrow offenses from other people. That's a bad spiritual habit. Let's practice Psalm 119, 165, where we love the Word too much. We love what the Word does for us too much to be running to offense all the time. Amen. Some of us are going to have to be brutally honest with ourselves about some of these things. Listen, it takes brutal honesty in order to be free in a lot of situations. Get disconnected from your emotional attachment to the situation. Step outside of it. Look at it objectively. Objectively means without being all engaged with the emotions that are involved with it, and just look at it objectively and said, did they really mean that? Did they really do me wrong? Even if they did, how about, do I even know that that's in their heart? I know their heart. They don't act that way most of the time. Amen. Listen, if you've been lazy in this area, it's killed your spiritual life and your faith. Amen. There's no such thing as being offended and in faith at the same time. Let's talk about what offense is. This is going to take a minute, but it's worth it. What is offense? It is a kind of a toxic combination of being irritated over a wrong that was done, feeling of being hurt and angry about it, and also being in unforgiveness and in strife about it. It's a toxic combination of being irritated for the wrong that was done, feelings of being hurt and angry about it, as well as being in unforgiveness and strife. Amen. It sometimes manifests, although sometimes it's outward anger, sometimes it's just the seething, silent treatment. Sitting over there mumbling and no joy. And how you doing? Is something wrong? No, nothing's wrong. Just leave me alone. Oh, we can tell. You're fine. Yeah, we can tell. Yeah. Offense robs you of your joy. I get amazed sometimes. People just love the church, love the family God gave them, until a little offense gets in, and all of a sudden they can't praise God anymore. They can't run the aisles anymore. They're sitting back there with their arms crossed looking around like, and you can just tell something got in. Something got in. Amen. It can be manifest in a lot of things. It's rooted in pride, which is rooted in the selfish nature of the flesh. Amen. This is why I'm talking about steel-toed shoes here. It gets down to where it really... It's rooted in pride. Why do I say it's rooted in pride? Because what is offense? Offense is how they treated me. I hurt. They did me wrong. And it's all me, I... which is all pride. And just, how many of you want to be happy in life? Get you off your mind. Oh, that went over big. Did you feel that? Get you off your mind. Well, they didn't do me right. Well, why don't you go bless somebody? Find somebody to... Well, that just hurt. I'll tell you how to get over the hurt. Go find somebody to be a blessing to. You'll be much happier in life if you just get you off your mind. Now, here's what it always leads to. Offense always leads to separation every single time. Separation from your help, separation from the anointing of God, the people of God, divine connections, separation from revelation of the Word. Amen. We all sit in church and get degrees of revelation out of what is preached based on what we've let in our hearts. Amen. It's all true. I'm not here to say what it is in you in your life. I'm just here to say, some of us only get 30% of what we could be getting of the blessings of God and enjoying the anointing and the presence of God and the fellowship of believers, other believers, because, you know, there's just walls up and guards up and, you know, I'm not going to let anybody in. And that's why you're not getting the full blowtorch of God's blessings, you know. Hallelujah. Now, like I said, there's a difference between somebody doing us wrong and us taking offense. Luke 17:1, here's the verse. It's impossible that offenses will come. That means inevitable. It is inevitable. And some opportunities are grand opportunities. Grand. I mean grand. We just went through a grand opportunity. Big time. I mean, it was loaded. Here's an opportunity to be offended. And we just said, no, thank you. Just went past it. And enjoying the presence of God. Enjoying the blessings of God. Hallelujah. The key is to learn to not latch onto it when it comes. Don't be the sticky side of Velcro. You know what I mean? You know, going out into the woods with hunting clothes, you're looking for clothes that don't catch burrs when you go past them, you know. Some clothes, every little thing. I mean, it's almost like some hunting clothes, there's a burr over there, and you walk within 20 yards, and it goes, jumps off onto your hunting clothes. It's like, don't be that way with offenses. Oh, there's one over there. Oh, you know, is that how they treated you? Oh, that's terrible. Then we all get hurt together, jump in the sinning party together. Amen. Tell your neighbor he's preaching better than your amen. And praise the Lord. So don't learn not to take it. In Psalm 119, nothing shall offend them. Make that your goal. It's impossible to offend me. Don't go around and announce it to everybody because the devil will make sure that you have an opportunity. Just in your heart decide, this is the way I'm going to live. When the devil's working on me, whenever that voice, you know, how many of you know if you're talking about them and what they did, you're offended? You took it. You took it. Amen. It's just not worth it. Just because somebody's done you wrong. You know, sometimes it's not reality that actually they've done you wrong. Emotions and feeling distort reality. Hello. Tell your neighbor, emotions and feelings distort reality. Amen. Your feelings are not a good source of reality. Amen. Don't let your feeling keep you from responding to the Word. You can act lovely and in love and in forgiveness by saying words of forgiveness. And you don't always have to say it to them. Sometimes you might need to, but sometimes just in your own private time, I forgive them, Lord. I hold no ill will or animosity. I refuse to take offense. I bless them. I love them. Next chance I get to see them, I'm going to bless them and love on them and do whatever you tell me to do. I remember one time a pastor said that the enemy was working on him about another minister and trying to get him offended at him. And he said, and he walked over there and blessed the minister with some finances. And the devil kept on working on him. So he went and did it again. And the devil, and he said, he told the devil, I'm going to keep on doing this. If you're going to keep on working me, I'm going to keep on doing this. And finally the thing broke. Yeah. Hallelujah. You can't just tolerate it and stick your head in the sand, hope it goes away. You have to do something. You have to do something. But feelings are not a good source of reality. Don't run a feelings nursery. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody does you wrong and you nurse it. Nurse your feelings. Oh, they hurt me. You give it a bottle and a sippy cup and a binky and stroke its feelings and water the feelings with your tears. What are you doing? I'm growing big offenses. You know what I'm talking about? It'll keep you emotionally immature. It'll keep you from progressing spiritually. It'll distort reality. Just seems like everybody does me wrong. You listen, it's everybody else too. You just have to not take it so hard, and you have to toughen up on the outside. Don't hold your feelings out where everybody brushes against them. You know what I'm talking about? Tell your neighbor, just get over it. Amen. Hallelujah. Your enemy is not the person that did you wrong. It is the offense that is coming and trying to get in. That's your enemy. Oh, that was worth it right there. The whole service was worth it right there. Hallelujah. I'll say it again. The enemy is not the person that did you wrong. It's the offense that's trying to get in. Recognize when it's trying to get in. Don't be spiritually, dull whenever offense is trying to get in. Be alert. Be sober. Amen. Praise God. You can get worked up about things and form a big reality worked up on the inside of you that's really nothing. But the devil will magnify what somebody did and tell you all about why they did it and their motives and how they don't like you and just work on your head until you've got something built up on the inside of you that is so far from reality that the next time you see them, they just be sweet or something like that and you realize, I've been listening to the devil for 2 whole weeks. I thought they didn't like me, and here they are blessing me. And you ought to kick yourself for listening to that voice. You know what I'm talking about? So when you walk out today, you just walk out going like this. Here's another thing. Since your emotions get all worked up in times like this and they mislead you, in the middle of that attack, that offense trying to get in, it's not a good time to make major decisions. Not a good time to make major decisions. Get past the offense. Well, God's leading me out. God's leading me somewhere else. I noticed you weren't led at all until you were offended. I noticed you're just loving everybody. Oh, happy up in here. Just happy up in here. Until somebody, wait a minute. Your feathers fall and your countenance changes and you can't praise God with us and you don't join in the fellowship. You come in late and leave early. Something got in. You remember God talking to Cain whenever he received Abel's offering but didn't receive Cain because it wasn't honorable, it wasn't in faith, wasn't what he said. And Cain's countenance fell. And he was wroth, the Bible said, angry. And God said to him, why is your countenance fallen, Cain? You just don't look healthy. Something ain't right. What's going on, Cain? He said, you're going to have to master this thing. The Amplified says, this is in Genesis 4, I forget the verse. You're going to have to master this thing. Because if you don't master it, it's going to get you. And he didn't master it. And within the next few verses, he killed his brother. That's where this stuff comes from. It's things that get in people's hearts. That's right. You got to master it. Listen, master it or it'll master you. So practice the word. Get past it. Make the decisions that you're going to make after you get past it. You'll find once you get past it, then all of a sudden now you don't want to leave. Now you don't want to lose that relationship. Now, come on. It's not a good time to make decisions. Tell your neighbor, that's helping you. You need that help. Also, we're talking about offense. Here's something that it is not. It is not a personality conflict. It's a strategy of the enemy. It is a strategy of the enemy. Listen, we all have different personalities. We understand that. But how many of you know we ought to be living above personal likes or interests or personalities? Hello. We're bigger than that. Tell your neighbor, we're bigger than that. Tell your neighbor, I know you don't have that great a personality, but we're bigger than that. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Just don't take offense, all right? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, here's something else I want to talk to you about regarding offense. There's a strategy in war as one of the strategies if you're going to conquer whatever. You know, in the old days it was a city. Sometimes it's still cities today, but now it's more like nations and stuff. But to conquer a nation or a city or something, or even take a building. Maybe you're at war and you got to take a building or something. The strategy is, of course, defeat it and then put a new person by the doorway. Somebody on your side by the doorway. And that controls who goes in and out, and that keeps everything under the control of the new conquering army. You know what I'm talking about? And so once that army captures that position, they replace the doorkeeper or the gatekeeper, and that new person determines who gets in and out, and they're determining completely opposite as the previous gatekeeper, you know, bridge watcher or whoever. You know, you take cities, you got to conquer bridges or tunnels or entryways into the city or something like that, or airports or something. But when that new guard is placed up over that building, that bridge or whatever, that person is going to now only allow in completely opposite people than used to be allowed in. Yeah. Completely opposite. Are you understand what I'm talking about? And so when a person takes offense, they get a new gatekeeper. Now, before that, in this particular relationship, honor was the gatekeeper. Because they loved them, honored them, respected them, and so forth, they wouldn't allow critical thoughts that the enemy brought to them. They wouldn't allow strife against them or something like that. Amen. Prior to taking the offense, honor was the gatekeeper and guarded that man's heart and wouldn't allow those things in. Thoughts of criticism, accusation, disrespect regarding to their spiritual family or something like that. But now, whenever they took an offense, the gatekeeper changed. Before, the person could do no wrong. Now, the person can do no right. Because offense is now at the gate, and that's the gatekeeper, it allows completely different things in. It allows completely different thoughts in the mind. There are things that you would never think about that person before, but when offense becomes the gatekeeper, now offense allows a completely different way of thinking about that person in. You all know what I'm talking about. Prior to taking the offense, that kind of thing wasn't allowed in. But now, offense is the gatekeeper of their heart because they took offense, you know. And the new gatekeeper will only allow accusations. They'll only allow people around them that talk bad about them. Before, they wouldn't allow people that talk bad about them in their company. But now, that's the only people they will allow in their company. People that are critical of them. You know, and they got a new gatekeeper. Does that make any sense? Now, people that badmouth them are allowed in their company. Amen. The very people who were once closest to their heart are now the people they hold away. Amen. Now they're willing to believe the worst of that same person that they once considered the greatest blessing in their lives. They used to value them highly and count them a precious blessing of God, but now they can only speak critically of them. And anybody that says anything else, new gatekeeper. Amen. Also, The blessings that used to, because of the honor and love that was the gatekeeper, the blessings that used to flow from that person into their life, now the new gatekeeper blocks those blessings. The anointing on their life will no longer get into that person's life, will no longer get into the offended one's life, because the new gatekeeper won't allow it in. Hello? What once stood at the door to take thoughts captive is now replaced with the fence at the door, and the door is wide open to the devil, and they will drink in the poison of his thoughts freely. Amen. Previously, the spiritual family God gave them to help them grow spiritually could do no wrong, but now they can do no right. Amen. The spiritual family didn't change. The offended one's gatekeeper changed. In fact, all of us can't change that quick anyway. I've seen it so many times. And people will swear up and down, no, I'm not offended. The Lord is leading me out. Oh, so now it's the Lord's fault. You're laying it off on the Lord. Blaming it on Him. Like He's confused. You know, offense makes you unstable. And listen, don't blame the Lord on your instability. I didn't intend to get so mean about anything, but I'm not mean on anybody individually. We're mean on what's binding people, hindering their lives and making them unstable. You know, a rolling stone never gathers any moss. You know what I mean by that? If you don't learn to stay put somewhere and just let God work on you where you are, you never gather any of the blessings of God up. Hallelujah. I'm happy. I'm having a good time. Well, Pastor, I wanted to shout like we did at the beginning. Well, you practice this. You practice this and you'll have all kinds of things to shout about. Amen. Now, offense will also allow new thoughts in that you wouldn't allow in concerning that person. It'll tell you now that this new ability you have now to see the errors in their character and the wrong things that are in the hearts of your spiritual family, this new ability to see that is from God. And I now have revelation I didn't realize about everybody around here. Amen. And He's the one showing it to me so that He can, you know, so I can protect myself, you know. Telling me to get away from Him so I won't be hurt anymore. But God's not pointing out any of our faults to you any more than He's pointing out yours to us. He's not the accuser of the brethren. Yeah, but I've been elevated to a higher level of revelation, and I can now see things. I notice it's always criticism and accusation. So it's not the voice of the Spirit that you're listening to. You're listening to the accuser of the brethren. And even if somebody did do you wrong, maybe they know it, maybe they don't, I don't know. But if somebody did you wrong, why don't you be bigger than them? Why don't you practice the word even if they don't? There's a novel idea. Be bigger than that. Don't let them pull you down in that dark hole. You know, nobody can make you be offended. It's a choice we make. We choose to take the offense. They can do us wrong, but they can't offend us without us participating in that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But you know that new elevated ability to see things you didn't see before was what Satan promised to Eve when he said, no, God said don't eat of that fruit. But yeah, really, he's trying to keep something from you. He knows that if you ate it, you'd be like gods and you'd be like him. You'd know things you didn't know before. You'd know good and evil you didn't know before. Satan, he pulled that one on Eve. It's all good preaching, Pastor Jay. You're examining yourself, right? I'm examining myself. Let's go a little bit further, if you can go a little bit further with me. When you're tempted to be offended, the devil is setting you up for a fall. Amen. Amen. So when what they said or did just keeps coming back to you and bugging you, he's working on you. You ever had that happen? Just bugging you, just bothering you. You got to answer it. You got to answer it. Don't just let it work on you. Answer it. Jesus answered and said unto those things that came unto him in the garden, in the wilderness. And he answered it. So you've got to master this thing. Go over to Genesis 4. Let's look at what we were sharing on a moment ago about Cain. Go to Genesis chapter 4. It's in verse number 5 through 7. Genesis 4, 5 through 7, it talks about, the previous verse talks about Abel bringing an offering. And then in verse number 4, Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering the Lord had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, in other words, what I said to do, God had instructed him about this offering. If you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. The Amplified says, if you do well, you will be accepted. If you do not well, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. Like a predator crouching, getting ready to jump on a prey. That's what sin. That when you're just being worked on about offense, he's waiting. He wants you to take it so he can pounce. Yeah. Yeah. Then he's got you. You see what we're preaching? Amen. Now the New Testament gives us more information about Cain. 1 John, go over to the 3rd chapter. It tells us something. Maybe Hebrews talks about it more, but for time's sake, we'll just go to 1 John. We're going to chapter number 3. I like brush-ups in this area every now and then. Do you like brush-ups? Just examine ourselves. See where we are. There's big offenses, little offenses, but all of them do damage. All of them affect our spirit and affect our faith. So we're looking at 1 John 3. Let's start reading in verse 11. It says, this is the message that we have, that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We know that's the New Testament commandment. Not as Cain. See, that's what we were just looking at. We're looking at Cain. Don't be like Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. The Amplified says, don't be like Cain, who took his nature and got his motivation from the evil one and slew his brother. Why did he slay him? Because his deeds, activities, and works were wicked and malicious, and his brothers were righteous, virtuous. In other words, Abel pleased God by obedience and walking by faith and doing what God said. Cain decided he'd do it his own way, and he brought an offering his own way. It wasn't what God had said to bring. Wasn't first, you can see it from the passage back there, wasn't a tithe, it was just something left over. If you look at in the process of time, Cain brought an offering and said, if you look that up, it means the end of days. In other words, he had already collected all his harvest and he had some at the end that wasn't as big and nice and plush. He just gave that to God. It wasn't honor, it wasn't faith, it wasn't the first. And so God said, I'm not accepting that. You know, you can bring something just because we offer something to God doesn't mean he accepts it. So Cain, he said he took his nature, the Amplified says, and got his motivation from the evil one. Here's what I want you to see from this passage. A couple of things. Number one, we see out of this passage that when we take offense, we're not walking in love. Notice he said in verse 11, we are to walk in love and not be like Cain. Offense is not the love walk. If there's people you can't face or interact with and have free fellowship with in the church, ask yourself why. Ask yourself why. Amen. Praise God. If there's an area of your life that's not working, ask yourself why. I don't know. I'm not saying it is this area, but check up on this area. You and I know in our hearts, don't we? But the second thing we get out of this passage here in 1 John is that when we are in offense, in other words, we take the offense, we're being motivated by the evil one. It says here he got his motivation from the evil one. That's why he murdered his brother. Isn't that right? He was motivated by the evil one. Now, in taking offense, you're in a place spiritually where you will start doing Satan's bidding because you are under his influence. Listen to me very carefully. How many of you want to be free from this? Listen carefully, very carefully. Examine yourself. When you are taking offense, Satan is influencing you. You're being motivated by him, and now you'll start doing his bidding because you're under his influence. He got something in you that belongs to him. Something that belongs to him got into you, and it's now controlling your thoughts and your actions more than the Holy Spirit. You'll be amazed at how quickly things will begin to change and what you'll start doing. But just days or weeks before, you wouldn't even have had a thought of treating somebody that way, a thought of acting that way. I'm sure Cain, probably a few days before, never had the thought of murdering Abel, his brother. Wasn't even on his radar that he could ever do something like that. But he took an offense, and the motivation from the enemy began. And within hours, probably, he slew his brother. You'll be amazed at where this stuff will take you and how quickly it'll take you there. Amen. This is where this murder came from. It came out of the heart of Cain. Satan got something in there. This stuff's dangerous, folks. It'll lead to much wickedness. You got to exercise discipline. You know, it says over there in Acts 14:16, herein do I exercise myself. The Amplified adds the word discipline to that. Takes discipline to not take offense. Amen. Hallelujah. If we're going to live free from demonic activity and from devils, we're going to have to not take offense. That's what the Lord spoke to me yesterday afternoon. Amen. Demons can more readily and easily take over your mind in offense than any other thing. I've watched people go from enjoying the presence of God, enjoying the Word, enjoying the blessings of God, walking in the light, to taking offense, and within days, weeks, and months, turn into a total perverted person. Total distorted. Their mind is perverted. Their actions are perverted. They're doing the most perverted thing. In fact, many sinners would say yuck to what they're doing. I said it'll open the door to demons. Amen. Now in Matthew 18, we looked at it there in the offering, but it talks about this man who wouldn't forgive and grabbed this man by the throat, you remember. And he said, pay me what you owe me. And you remember that all that debt was restored. But notice it said that the king turned him over to the tormentors. Tormentors. I was reading that one day and it hit me. I'd never seen that before. Notice it said they turned him over to the tormentors. In other words, tormenting spirits. You see that? This is the root of many people's emotional problems, folks. They just can't let something go. I just can't let it go. Yeah, but it's killing you. It's destroying your emotions. But that flesh, it just wants to hold on to it. Just wants to hold on to it. It smells like cheese, you know. Hello? They're holding on to that offense and unforgiveness in their heart, and it gives the devil access to their minds and souls to torment them. They're on all kinds of medications trying to get some peace. When a man takes offense, now something in them belongs to Satan. Jesus said in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, the 30th verse, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, the evil genius of this world, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. Nothing in me belongs to him, and he has no power over me. Look at that. Satan has free, unfettered access to us when we take something that belongs to him. An offense belongs to him. The door's wide open to him. And we'll fail to receive the blessings of God. We'll also get out of the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Believers can give place to Satan in them. That's the only way Satan can take anything in their life. They have to give him place. Otherwise, Satan can't do anything. Amen. Why do some people just never really get free from emotional problems? There's freedom for it. But if you've been sitting under the Word, now this is not for people that are newer, but I'm talking about people that have just been sitting under the Word for years, and listen, you're still dealing with those emotional things, you better check up on this area. something, Satan got something in you that allows him to have access to your soul. Amen. 1 Samuel 16, you can read it later. Just write the reference down. 1 Samuel 16, 13 through 23. It talks about King Saul rebelling and being disobedient to God. And then God said, I can't use him anymore. Remember the prophecy through Samuel? I've taken the kingdom from you. And God said to Samuel, go down to Jesse's house. There's one of his boys I'm going to anoint. I want you to anoint to be king. So he went down there. You remember the story. It took him. All the boys came past. Finally, David came past. And he said, this is the one. Rise and anoint him. And so he rose up and anointed him. And then you read the very next chapter, the 16th chapter there. You start reading where the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, King Saul. The anointing, I'm talking about the anointing for ministry. He lost that place, that anointing that God gave him to be the king. And the Spirit of the Lord left Saul. And the Bible said an evil spirit came and began to torment him. You remember that? Why was, and the Bible said that because Saul, King Saul saw David as a threat, and he saw that the blessing of God was on him. And remember, the Bible talks about the people were loving him more because he killed more people in battle than even King Saul killed. And so they were singing his praises more. He's getting jealous of David. He's being competitive. He's offended. He sees the blessing on David. He sees he lost the blessing. This is just like Cain. He sees he lost the blessing. He was disobedient and he had the wrong heart. And God said, I'm finding somebody else. And here's the anointing's coming on them. And they're being raised up. They're getting favor. And things are happening for them. Listen, that's dangerous in a local church whenever you're seeing everybody else blessed and you start getting offended at everybody. That's a dark hole. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But here's King Saul. He couldn't rejoice with David. Amen. It was his choices that made him lose out. It wasn't God just saying, I don't like you anymore. It was that heart of hardened offense and bitterness and disobedience and not, he's being rebellious and stuff like that. Amen. And I opened the door to these tormenting spirits. From then on, you remember the story, the passage I quoted you, 1 Samuel 16, 13 through 23, the Bible says that because King Saul was tormented and his workers around him could see it, they said, let's find somebody that plays skillfully under the anointing. That can minister to him because the anointing will soothe and comfort him. And somebody said, well, I know a guy and his name is David. Here he is again, you know. And you remember one time while he's playing, he threw a javelin at him. He's still got that seething on the inside. He's still offended. And David escaped. But the Bible said when David would play, the Spirit of the Lord would move on King Saul and he would be freed from that torment for a season. Isn't that right? But I got something to tell you, folks. If you're living all tormented and all tied up on the inside because you've taken an offense and your whole week is blessed, I mean, your whole week is tormented and you just deal with a lot of emotional problems and you're angry on the inside and your only relief is a few hours coming to church, getting free because of the anointing on somebody else, that is not God's best. God has something better for you than a few hours of peace in church because the anointing and the blessing is on somebody else and you can soak in a splashed over blessing. There's freedom all week long. I said there's freedom from that stuff all week long. Something better than only having peace in church. If you'll confront this offense that's gotten into you and repent and get back into the love walk, you can live free when others aren't around you to minister the anointing to you. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. The Hebrew says great wholeness. Wholeness. I believe that includes your emotions. Hallelujah. The older I get, the more valuable peace is to me. I'm going to do anything I need to keep it. But offense is an open door to rob these things from you. Listen to the Ephesians. I'm almost done. I know we're about out of time, but listen to Ephesians 4, 27. In the WAND translation, not Brother Juan, WAND, WAND. one translation, Ephesians 4:27. This is the verse that says in the King James, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. The Amplified, I'm talking about the wand, the translation says, it's when you are in a sulky frame of mind that the devil has his greatest opportunity. Whoa. They treated me this way. They don't love me. He said that's whenever the devil has his great opportunity. I said he's working on you. Remember, I said he's working on you. If that's the way anytime you're tempted to have a pity party or feel sorry for yourself, mark it down. The devil's working on me. Get out of it. Get out of it. Hallelujah. Yeah, but nobody treats me right. That's a lie, number one. Number two, why don't you look to the Lord for your promotion, for your blessing? The Bible says, the Lord is my helper. What can men do unto me? What can they do? Look to him. He'll help you through that situation. Has it come down to you trusting God? But listen, your mind and emotions were never designed to handle the effects of unforgiveness and offense. It'll start breaking it down and make you a wreck. Amen.
Amen.
Your soul is supposed to be like lush, like a watered garden. All the fruit of the Spirit is to be flooding through your soul. What comes out of your spirit? Love, joy, peace. That's supposed to all be in your soul.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Stay healthy about the way you feel about other people.
Yeah.
About their blessings, about their favor, their promotion. Stay healthy on the inside about how you feel about it. Rejoice with people that rejoice. The flesh is full of competitive jealousy. Amen. You know what I mean by that? It won't allow other people. In other words, that the competitive jealousy won't allow you to rejoice in somebody else's promotion. You ought to get happy, click your heels, and take them out to dinner. Say, I'm so glad you're being faithful to God and God's promoting you. And the old flesh is back there saying, yeah, but they don't treat you that way. They don't promote you. And you just say, shut up. I'm going to treat them better than I ever have. I honor who God's honoring. Hallelujah. But offense is always displeased, hurt, and destroyed by the blessings of others. And it even tries to destroy their blessings. Destroys their character. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what a crab bucket is? Crab bucket's a bucket when you're out crabbing, you put crabs in. We were preaching up in Maine, and a guy was telling us about he likes to go out crabbing. Actually, it was one of our young spiritual sons. He used to be. But he loved to go out crabbing. And he said, you know, when you put crabs in a bucket, if you only have one crab in there, you got to put a lid on it because he'll crawl out. You know, crabs have those big old long legs.
Yeah.
He said, but if you have a crab or two, two or three or more crabs, you don't have to put a lid on it because one of them starts crawling out, the other one will reach up and grab it and pull it back down.
Yeah.
Well, my exhortation to you is don't be a crab bucket Christian. This is not a crab bucket church. Where somebody gets promoted, well, let me tell you something bad I know about them. Now, I haven't been talking about this, but you know, I got to tell you now. You old crab, you. Rejoice. Well, I just believe everybody ought to know. Let's turn that on you and see if you still believe that. How you fuss at your wife behind closed doors and, oh. Well, Jonah 4. In Jonah got offended because remember God sent him to Nineveh to preach judgment. If they don't repent, judgment. And they repented, and the judgment didn't come. So he looked like, you know, God, you messed me up. You make me look like I don't know what I'm talking about. No judgment came. He got offended. You read it. Jonah got offended at God because he preached judgment and it didn't come. Because they repented. That is the goal, by the way. That is the goal. And so he's all offended. You can find that in Jonah 4 and the whole chapter, but verses 4 and 9. God said this after. He's sitting out there under that tree all mad and all offended and hurt. And the Bible said he's sitting under that tree and God said, now this is a paraphrase. You can see it in the King James. While you're all mad and offended and irritated at me, doest thou well? In other words, how's that working out for you, Jonah? Being all offended. How's it working out there in that dry, thirsty land spiritually? Where everybody else is getting the blessings of God and you're sitting back there. How's that working out for you? Sulking over other people's blessings and sulking over how somebody treated you. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good preaching this morning. Hallelujah. It'll cause you not to receive the blessings of God. Remember in Jesus' hometown, they were offended that he wouldn't receive, and he could there do no mighty work. I don't want there to be my life. I don't want it to be my home. I don't want it to be my marriage. I don't want it to be my finances. I don't want a there because I'm offended. I want to soak in all the blessings of God, and if somebody else doesn't get theirs, it'll splash over on me. Hallelujah. But that happens through always being forgiving, loving. Hallelujah. Praise God. Before you jump in what is destroying other people's lives, why don't you look at the fruit of some of these people's lives? You know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. When was the last time they had a testimony? Oh, that hit you. There's some people who haven't had testimony for years. Well, when they start coming around, there's probably some things you ought to know. I got to share this with you. I'm concerned about somebody in the church. Yeah. Why don't you say, wait, when's the last time? I haven't heard any testimonies out of you lately. Yeah. I think I'm just going to let you by yourself over there. I'm going to go over here with Brother Blessing over here. He's got testimonies all the time. I'm going to find out what he's doing. And I notice he never criticizes, never talks bad about anybody in leadership. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you ask yourself the question, knowing what I know they led into their life, why would I join up with them? Why would I get the same gatekeeper they have? Pastor Hagin said this. He said, Brother Hagin told him at an early age, son, he said, if you will refuse to take offense, you'll never be out of the will of God and you'll never fail to receive his blessings. You'll never be out of the will of God and you'll never fail to receive his blessings. And Pastor Hagin went on to write this. This is so good. He said, when you're tempted to become offended, based on what Brother Hagin told him, when you're tempted to become offended, ask yourself, is this where I want to get stuck in life? Because he's talking about this is as far as I'm going in the blessings of God. If I get offended right here, this is as far as I'm going. Is this where I want to get stuck in life? Is this the level of blessings I want to walk in? Or do I want to go further with God? And then he went on to say, offense will deter you from your divine destiny. That's much too high a price to pay. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of the word? There's more, but we'll just say it's done right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will not live in that dark hole in my life. I won't live in a place where I got the wrong gatekeeper and just blocking all the blessings of God. Hallelujah. How many of you are interested in that? It takes passing these things up. Passing these things up. Listen, not everybody, there are wrongs, there are literal wrongs, but not everybody intended it to be a wrong against you. Some things are just, they weren't thinking about it. Let's just be bigger than all this little petty little. Amen. Life's too short. I mean, we believe in long life, but even with long life, it's too short to live half our life all cut off from the blessings of God. I don't want to live a day. I don't want to live an hour or a moment. Hallelujah.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.